Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so are Sordano and Cap both in studio, Greg?
No,
Just Sordano.
Okay, Cappy is in South L.A. today.
All right, so there's an extra mic over there, so everybody can start.
We should mention, by the way.
Oh, no, you're leaving anyway.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Yeah. We should mention the Padres and Dodgers are this weekend at Dodger Stadium. And should be good pitching matchups throughout. The Padres are an interesting team because they're loaded with offense and yet bat 203 with runners in scoring position.
He's leaving.
Which is astounding.
Yeah. No, I need
turn Sedano's mic on.
I need to talk to Mason.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Is Cappy there too?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Not yet. Here.
Yeah, no, yeah. Hey, there's Cappy. Cap.
So you guys aren't going to the game today?
I'm not. I couldn't get a seat.
And Cappy either?
No, nope. Cappy either.
Well, you got a credential, didn't you?
Got a credential, but not a seat. And so you can't really see the game when you're in the suite.
And Cappy had a credential too, right?
Had. Gave it up.
Yeah, I gave mine up too.
Yeah. Well, the league is pissed.
No. What's up? No, right. Bergman gave it up.
I just got a text.
From what? Who?
Paul Benedict. Who's that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Why are they mad at you guys?
Why are they mad at...
Well, this
I know why they're mad. They don't like it when people get credentials and then don't show up.
So they said, hey, I know you work with them, so why did Steve Mason and Scott Kaplan ask for a credential if they're not going to use it? These are the playoffs, not ideal. And I just wrote back, I'll find out what happened. I have no idea.
I don't know. Okay. I just went through Bergman on this.
All right, so you guys may be out for the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
Looks that way.
Ooh.
Definitely looks that way. Definitely looking and feeling that way.
By the way,
this is on you. I didn't know how this worked.
You had asked for a credential and asked out of it. I just asked them to not put
you on. They didn't give me a seat, so I'm like, why? Well, there's no point in walking around just.
Well, there's the fifth floor press box. I'm sure there's a seat up there.
There is a seat on the fifth floor press box that nobody goes to.
Right, but John's right. They don't love that.
Well, Pepe knows. They're a little,
especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. No, these games are huge.
Because
who sent that email, George?
Paul Benedict, this guy at the league.
The guy, Paul Benedict.
Okay, Paul.
He's like the guy in charge of everything.
You got his cell phone number?
Yeah.
Let me get that.
Yeah. Why would I give that to you? He doesn't even know who you are.
Hold on a second.
Obviously he does.
No, he knows because he found out from the team that you guys aren't going.
Knows.
You turned it in.
That's right.
He just literally asked. I'm only texting you because I know you work with them.
That's right. So I'll deal. I'm a big boy. I'm happy to deal with it.
That's a horrible idea to give his cell phone.
No, are you crazy? Never. This dude's like a senior vice president.
Take a small problem and turn it into a giant one.
Yeah, this guy's like a senior vice president. I'm not giving you.
The first line Cap would text him. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, that's right. But honestly, Bergman, this was this is kind of on you.
How is it on Bergman?
Because he's the management person.
I got you a credential.
He's the one that's interfacing.
No, Mace, I got you a credential.
And then
you canceled it. And I said, I need to cancel it. And now Paul Benedict is saying that you're not
right,
going.
But the point is,
no, he hasn't said they're not going to the Western Conference Finals, but I could see John's point where they'd be like, we're not credentialing them
anymore. Right. That's not on me.
But it comes down to whether or not there's a seat available.
That's your thing. That's not the league's thing.
But that's not the Lakers' thing.
No, that's your thing.
But what's the point of being there if I don't have a seat?
But to George's point, there's a seat up there.
Right. There are seats if you want.
Yeah, it's you just don't like the seat they gave.
Right.
Then I'm just not going to go to the Western.
Yo, let me get Paul Benedict's cell phone number.
Let me talk to Paul Benedict.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
Just Google him, Cappy. Just Google him.
I need to talk to Paul Benedict.
Well, it sounds like I'm out.
Mace, games 3 and 4 for Boston, you wouldn't want to go to that?
Sounds like I'm not allowed.
Wow. Well, no. What you do is get a ticket and go to hang in the suite.
Yeah, just get a ticket.
Oh, get a suite pass.
Ask them.
Yeah, it's just not the same in a suite.
What are you talking about? That's where it's at.
I know for you that's where it's a schmooze fest and all that.
Mason,
but I kind of want to watch the game.
Mace, ooh. So you say Cappy doesn't watch the game.
No, Cappy watches the game, but it's different watching the game from the suite as opposed to watching next to Sliwa.
But I will say I do have a little bit of guilt when I'm in the suite.
Yeah.
And I take one of the better seats at the front.
Oh, sure.
And I'm truly zoned in on the actual game.
Because those are for teammates and partners.
Right. And there are our partners in there, and they're like, well, he really needs to see the game so he can talk about it. So I'll just give up my seat up there for him. And I'm like, gosh, these seats really do belong to our partner.
They're nice, you know, and maybe, comfy up there,
maybe,
too, though.
I know, maybe I should get out of these seats, you know. But I don't know. I got all these tacos with me, you know, and I don't really want to get up. And I'm really enjoying these seats. Hey, yo, let me get Paul Benedict's number, yo.
No.
Let me get that.
No,
let me get Paul
Benedict's
number.
That's not happening.
What is wrong with you?
That's
no way.
That's not happening.
Pepe, you got any room next to you? Mace could use a seat next to you?
No, I don't. All right, that's it for...
by the way, Mason, I'm completely pulling your leg.
Are you?
That text, was from my That text was from my ESPN phone that I sent to myself, and I just changed the name to Paul Benedict NBA, who, by the way, is a real person, and he really is in charge of all this stuff.
Cap was legitimately meant to.
I totally believe that.
So did I.
That was excellent.
I text Bergman, John, and Michael, and told them that I was going to.
That was very well played.
They knew. The three of them knew.
Yeah, we knew.
That was, in the meantime,
that was
George,
anger.
I will tell you right now.
Yeah.
I have just connected with Paul Benedict on LinkedIn.
I'm sure you have.
I did.
You know he did.
You know he's probably doing it right.
Paul
now.
Benedict and I are now connected on LinkedIn.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm out of here for the weekend. Go Lakers! It is super crosstalk time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul Benedict.
Cappy, you were ready to go to battle, weren't you?
You know what's so funny?
I never believed it.
Yeah, right.
You were right. So freaked out.
Sedano has gotten me so many times on things just like this that I could sniff this from 100 miles away.
Which is why you got aggressive. You went on offense.
Yeah. I want Paul Benedict's cell phone number. I want to deal with Paul Benedict myself.
You know, it's funny. I told John and Michael I was actually going to call Paul Benedict, but he's at Madison Square Garden. So he wasn't going to pick up the phone because he probably wasn't going to hear me. But I was going to actually have him text me from his own number.
So... you never know what people are going to react to on the show. One of my neighbors just texted me, big Laker fan. He's nervous about the game tonight. So we've been texting back and forth about the game. And he just randomly texts me, "How could you not know when Julius Caesar died?"
Why? When did he die?
Well, no, Pepe had that in the game of games.
Yeah, but I actually missed that question. When did Julius Caesar
die? It was how old he was when he died, 38, 51, or 53.
And he was young, wasn't he? He was like 38?
That's what I said. We were both wrong. 51, right?
55.
Okay.
Really?
And they shot it. They shot him.
Michael was there.
They shot him.
Yeah.
Michael was there. Is that right?
All right, now,
hey, Michael. By the way, are we all allowed to tap into that whole hotel Hey King thing that you got going on?
Yeah, you guys are affiliated with ESPN and the Lakers. That's all I got to let them know is Laker personnel, ESPN personnel is coming down, and they will roll
and
up the red carpet.
And you'll be running the Fire Festival, Cap, just like you'll be right, like Billy McFarland. You'll be in charge of the whole island.
Yeah, they will give you free coconuts.
That's right, that too. A little rum in it.
So, wait, Sedano, I was texting with Sedano last night. He was working sidelines in Phoenix. By the way, shout out to my guy, Al McCoy, who I love.
So, you'd love this. We took a picture with him and Hubie Brown.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we put it on
the
broadcast.
They're both 90, right?
Yeah, well, Hubie's 89. He's about to turn 90.
Yeah.
We put it on the broadcast because we wanted them to take a photo together because, you know, it's Al's last game.
Right.
So, potentially.
I tweeted this last night. Al's the most respected broadcaster in the league, and there are a lot of great announcers in the league.
Is his choice to leave?
Yeah, he's 90.
Okay. Dude, he wanted to leave last year, I heard.
And this year, he's only been doing home games.
Yeah.
And so he was doing the game last night, and the Suns were eliminated.
He's 90?
Yeah, he's 90. Yeah,
wow.
And
that's
and
really
now,
remarkable.
Now remarkable. He's retiring. But I hope he still comes to the game. One of the funniest things I've ever seen was we got – Pepe, remember we used to all go to the broadcast meetings way back in the day? So when you go to these broadcast meetings, they say, okay, all the radio guys go to that corner of the room and that table. And all the TV side nine people go there, which was basically Trudell and Charlie's Angels. Right. It was Trudell with seven really attractive women. Yeah. And then if you're a TV play-by-play guy, you go over there. So, Pepe, I can't remember if you were with me, but all the radio guys are over there. And this guy, young guy, was like his first day on the job. This is Jenny. He goes, hi, guys. My name's Jim. Mr. Corelli, Tom Corelli, who's the head of broadcasting for the NBA, sent me over. And he's got a yellow legal pad.
Right.
He goes, sent me over to write any concerns that you have about how things are going with the league. And if you have any concerns, I'll write them down and take them to Mr. Corelli. And Al, without missing a beat, goes, young man.
It's a good voice. Good
I job. Want you to ask your boss why he's out to screw every radio guy in the league by putting us on the roof at these arenas. It's ridiculous. And the kid turns white.
Yeah.
Like he didn't know what to do or say. And he started to write the question down. And he didn't know. And Al looks at me and goes, son, I'm pulling your leg. You better get used to it.
I remember that.
And he was such a funny guy. Well, I shouldn't talk about him. Like,
no, he's still
passed
around.
Away.
But,
he's still alive.
It's funny.
But I'm going to miss seeing him at the games.
So I was there, obviously, this morning driving to the airport. And they were talking about him all morning long on their flagship station. Mm-hmm. It was great. We got a chance to sit down. He came to our green room. We talked to him for like 20 minutes. I heard him most recently because, you know this because it happens with you guys too. On the NBA channel on Sirius, they play the home broadcast.
Right.
Mm-hmm,
right.
And so I've heard him a bunch this postseason, and I hadn't heard him in a while. He sounds fantastic still.
Well, amazing. Chick at the end still sounded great. Chick worked till he was 85.
Yeah.
But you'll just never be able to replace these legendary old announcers.
Yeah. There's 51 years in Phoenix. Yeah. 51.
Incredible.
And John, how old are you?
He plays the piano.
I'm 59, Cappy. Okay,
59. So do you think that in 25 years you're still going to be calling Laker games?
Why not if you're healthy?
I hope so. But, boy, it's not always up to the announcer. Yeah. You know,
but just think about that. Like, you talk about Chick Hearn. You think about Vin Scully, this gentleman you're talking about in Arizona, and so many of the old-time baseball guys that are now kind of either, you know, retiring or being phased out. But man, to work till you're 90, or in Hubie's case, George, 89.
Yeah. The thing about Hubie too is, George, you were in the game with him last night. Hubie is still, and this isn't just me doing lip service. He's still really good stuff. Listening to Hubie
every time,
every single game he works, and it's great. I just love the way Hubie talks. Now, if you're the Suns, what you want is you got to go down and post up Ayton very low on the block, not high on the block. Yeah. Now, if you're Denver, you let him go down there, but then you double him on the catch right away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And the guy's freaking 89.
He's excellent.
So it's funny. I hadn't worked with him since last year, and he was like, where you been? And I'm like, well, I'm working a lot of West games. I'm like, you're only doing a lot of games in the East.
I know what I wanted to ask you because I was drifting in and out once your game turned into a blowout.
Yeah.
This is a little inside basketball, but in the world that George and I live in, it matters. The rule is that in a national game, you get the home coach at the end of the third quarter, the visiting coach at the end of the first quarter, home coach at the end of the third quarter. But if their team is down by more than 15 or 20 points, they have the option of just saying, I'm going to sit this one out. We're not playing
It's no longer an option. It's basically,
it's black and white.
Did you
do Monty?
We did not.
Yeah.
Because it was 26, I think, at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that would have been incredibly awkward. I mean, what are you going to say? You're getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know?
At best, you're asking one. Listen, I've been in that scenario where it's like 18 or 19. And what I end up doing, it's so funny. I did this a couple years
ago. Right up to the line, but not over it.
So a couple years ago, this happened to me in Milwaukee against the Knicks, where Tom Thibodeau's the visiting coach.
And he is a crank. Tibbs is a crank.
He's down 19.
Yeah.
And I go over there, and there was a scoreboard malfunction. It said 21 at first, and then they changed it back to 19 because I guess the shot clock had expired or something, but it happened during the timeout. So I looked at the Knicks PR guy, and I'm like, I said, no, right? And he's like, yeah, no. So, and then all of a sudden, the producer's screaming at me, it's 19 now, it's 19, go get Tibbs. And I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
You want me to go over there now? Like, it's already been a minute.
Dude, and the book on Tom Thibodeau is he's so emotionally invested in these games that his mood is completely determinant on how his team is performing.
So I went over there to the Knicks PR guy, and I pointed at the score, and he looks at me, and I said,
like, really?
And I said, one question.
What'd you ask him?
And I looked at Tibbs, and I said, one. And he came over, and he nodded his head, and I just asked him. I said, obviously not the start you wanted. How do you try to get back into this thing, you know, over the next couple quarters? One, and then I thanked him, and then Mike Breen goes, a veteran reporter on the sideline knew to ask only one question there. But yeah, it's tough. It's not easy. But Hubie, the thing with Hubie that's fantastic is when you go to these coaches' meetings that we have before the game with no cameras.
Yeah, they all respect him.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
How many guys just like, and the type, just the conversations that they have that we get them with other guys, but it's not to the depth that you have with Hubie, where they're legitimately, I've seen, I won't name who because this person's no longer a head coach. Like, they asked him about plays.
Right.
Like, do you think I should run this? And he's like, I can't do that. We're doing a game. Like, I can't tell you what to run. And this guy insisted again. He's like, look, I told you, I just can't do that. Like, that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. I'll tell you off the air who it was, though.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
You won't even know who it is.
I thought it was Frank Vogel you were talking about.
No,
like,
absolutely.
By the way, are you guys, Michael, are you surprised Frank Vogel is not in the running? Maybe he is in the running. It's just not publicized. But there's three open jobs now. I would hire Frank in a heartbeat.
I would like to see fresh faces like J.J. Redick and fresh new faces.
So you're okay with players who have never coached getting a shot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pat Riley did it. How do you end up?
Right. Well, you know, back to your point, George, about and Cap, you do this for football because you do sidelines for football sometimes. If you have a name on your broadcast team, like in your case last night, Hubie, you'll get way more out of people.
Oh, yeah.
When you have those pregame meetings. If it's like, me, you, and Bergman, George.
We're not getting this.
They're giving us stock answers. Yeah. But if you walk in, like when Pat Riley comes on the radio, if Michael's here, he's way better than if it's just two Yahoos like me talking about it. Because Riley respects people who have been in the trenches with him. So that's another great thing about having Hubie there. No interest in retiring?
Not yet.
He's 89. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. How many games a year does he do?
He's pared it down to somewhere between like 10 and 15. You know what I mean? So it's not, you know, he's not doing a full schedule anymore. And this is the first time he came west. Everything has been east. You know,
how does he travel? I mean, does he literally
travel
by
himself? His
daughter
travels with him.
Okay. Do they fly in private? Yeah. They must fly in
private. No, no. I mean, he flies first, but they fly the daughter with him.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's not retiring because I learn from him all the time.
What about from me?
No.
I never listen to you.
What?
Yeah. No, because I'm doing the same thing that you're doing. Yeah. I mean,
all right.
What do you want me
Something
to do?
Something just
stop
happened
doing it?
That makes me feel better about tonight's game.
By the way, Mason just texted me.
What did he say?
He said, that was hilarious. You totally had me going.
Yeah. And of course, he'll
come on, Mason.
Honestly, Bergman, it's kind of on you. He went right to me. It was my fault immediately.
You haven't figured out that you blame for everything. Here's the good thing that I think that I feel better about tonight's game. Stephen A. just picked the Warriors. And he's been picking them all the time. He picked them in I think he's picked the Warriors in all five of them.
What'd you think of that concussion mockering?
I don't care.
You didn't care?
I don't care in this sense, George.
Because, like, I'm sorry, John, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
But I don't care in this sense. Like, I'm only worried about what I think about the situation. I'm not here. I don't care what.
But you shouldn't be making fun of a guy who's
injured. Sure. Of course. Just decorum says you shouldn't.
But George is right. You shouldn't do it. But, Michael, I was telling somebody yesterday, and Mason didn't believe me, but I was saying that players like AD, I think they look at it all as noise.
Yeah, no. They pay attention with the criticisms. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah.
You think did when people criticized you used to pay attention to it?
I mean, look at my own son, Clay. Look how he was hurt when Barkley says he's not the same player anymore. That cut him deep.
Right.
So these guys care.
I think it's really bad that they're doing it.
Go ahead, Cap.
Bad, yeah, but come on. I mean, like, they're players, former players. They have opinions. They think they're tough guys.
Yeah,
they think their generation is tougher than this generation.
Yeah, but you shouldn't question a guy's injury, though. If, if he's hurt, he says he's hurt. You know,
I mean, but that's them. They did it. They said what they said. They held their positions. They were laughing. They clearly think not only like they just don't think he's got a big heart. Like it's as if they were saying, I wouldn't have missed that time. I wouldn't have been taken off on a wheelchair.
Yeah, but a head injury, you got to be cautious with a head injury.
Well, to not to defend them, but maybe to explain the behavior, in your day, nobody was, if you were hitting the head, you weren't taken off the floor.
We didn't know that.
Let alone taken off, you know, for precaution in a wheelchair. Yeah.
I ran into somebody at a golf course, and they told me that if you get hit in the temple, like in the exact right spot, it can disorient you. You buy that, Mike?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The boxers happens all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that may have been more of what happened to AD.
You can die.
Yes,
you can really die.
You get hit in the right spot.
Yeah.
Or the wrong
spot. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are going till when? 5:30?
5:30, yeah. Okay, so you guys... big pre with Slee.
Okay, so you guys got a lot to get to. Sedano and
Jock.
Cap.
That's right.
Are joining us. Pepe, good job on the game, by the way.
Nice job, Pepe.
Won, Pepe.
All right. Pepe and Michael and I are heading across the street.
Are you doing more, your own version of the Pepe salute again today?
No, but I have promised George that if the Lakers win, I will
be
so happy that I will work a Yo Mama joke into the post game.
For Mother's Day.
In honor of Mother's Day. So
hey,
let's
Johnny
see if I can do it. Yes, Cap.
When you get over there, if you see anything that we need to know between now and 5:30, please call us because, like, we're on the edge of our seats.
John texted me the other day that somebody was in or out or whatever. So.
I'm going to go check with Paul Benedict and I'll get back to you.
Yes. Tell Paul Benedict I just tried to connect with him on LinkedIn.
Now he's really going to text me and go, why is this Scott Kaplan guy following
me
on LinkedIn?
Why is he catching me on LinkedIn? All right. Tonight on Cap next, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bang, ba-dum-bum, ba-da, ba, pick-a-doom, ba-dum-bum. Dee-da-da-do, ba-da, ba, pick-a-doom.
Paul Benedict.
Ba-da, ba. He and I are friends now on LinkedIn. Yeah, come on, Paul.
Now he's going to text me and be like, who's this Kaplan guy?
What's up, PB? Yeah.
Isn't that the guy that works with you?
Da-da-ba, ba-da, ba. Is that that guy that every time you guys start the show, he sings that Eminence Front song from The Who, and he makes up all those bass sounds? Is that guy? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I actually was going to have him call in, but then I realized he was at the Garden. Mm-hmm. And so, he's actually working. But had he not been working today, he would have totally probably, I don't know about totally probably. That probably doesn't make sense. He might have tried to pull off the joke with me.
Had Paul Benedict been part of the joke, you would have had me. Now, you had Mason hook, line, and sinker, and I loved it.
Yeah.
But you see, George, you've already gotten me on things like that. You see? So there was a time a couple months ago, I walk around the radio station, and Adam Bronstein comes up to me and he goes, hey, man, what the hell? And I go, what the hell what? What are you talking about? He goes, you know what I'm talking about. I go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. What's going on? And he said, you know what you do to J.B. Long on the air. And I go, what do I do to J.B. Long?
You know what you do.
You know what you do.
You do
know what you do.
You do know.
Right? Now I come in to the on-air studio, and you start giving it to me. Oh, he's pissed. J.B. Long is so pissed at you, you know? Only to find out that you had already set up Brawny to beat me up over it, to already make me upset, to get me out of my game. Head games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Draymond is playing, you know? Head games. AD's so hurt. Oh, man, I feel so bad for him. While everybody else is laughing, not Draymond. He playing head games.
Yeah.
You've gotten me with these jokes already, yeah. George.
By the way, I meant to say not the Garden. They're playing in Miami today, but he's at the game. He's working that game. So that's why. But it would have been hilarious. I wish I could have gotten him to call in.
Well, you had Mason going though, huh?
Oh, he definitely. I mean, he texted me that I got him.
Wow.
His face was priceless. Bergman played it off well too. Lindsay, you were there to see Bergman, and Briones was there too.
Honestly, Bergman, this kind of on you.
I think at first Greg was like thought he was in on it too.
Yeah.
His face was shaking. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, he did. His face changed. Dude. You're sitting right next to him, so you see it.
This way.
Yeah.
His face was shaking. He was nervous. His voice almost cracked. Mace, I know you're listening, Mace. Come at me.
Well, and John played it really well too. When he's like, "Oh man, this may cost you the Western Conference Finals."
Oh yeah. Well, I think Bergie though, getting immediately frustrated and angry and very aggressive, really showed his acting chops.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's why he gets recruited on all these reality TV shows.
Right.
Everybody wants him.
Yeah.
Because he's a good actor. This Bergman.
He is. He's a good actor, this Bergman.
He really is. You had me, though. You had me the day of the J.B. Long thing.
Yeah, no, we totally got you on that
one. Once you got me that day.
Now you're hip to the game?
Man,
we're
going
to have to do something
out.
A little different to get you next time.
You're going to have to shift your game a little bit here. Oh. Study film and make adjustments.
Oh, there's no question that's the case. Could that be the case with the Lakers? Do you think they'll be able to make the adjustments? Or will it not matter because it's home, role players will play better, Andrew Wiggins is dinged up in this one? Like, will it matter?
Well, to me, the Wiggins story is one of the biggest stories because he seems to have, George, remember that night you and I were sitting watching that first opening game? I want to say it was the Chargers and the Chiefs last year, and Justin Herbert got hurt, right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of the same thing that Wiggins has going on.
Correct, yeah.
And remember what happened the next week? Justin Herbert decided to play, and Jacksonville came to L.A. and beat up on the Chargers. So I don't think Andrew Wiggins, no matter how much pain medication they give him tonight, I don't think he's going to be an impact player at all.
Well, that's big, then. If he can't be an impact player, then the Lakers should win this one fairly easily, I believe. Unless we have Game 6 Clay show up.
Okay. See, now that's... Look, if you take the 25 points that Wiggins gave you in the last game, and he doesn't give that to you, but all of a sudden Clay shows up for 27, that could be a big difference in this game, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Clay has had a rough series outside of one game. Clay is pressing, it feels like. And this may, you know, this is for all the marbles, you know, obviously. And some people believe that the whole blueprint for them is on the line. I don't believe that. I think Steph, Clay, and Draymond will be there. I think the rest of those, anyone who's not those three guys could potentially not be there. But this is huge. And for the Lakers, can Anthony Davis give you another game, right? Because the question, obviously the entire question throughout this series has been his consistency or lack thereof at times. Although I feel like he's answered some of those questions too, to be frank with you. So I think we've moved past that. Have we moved past the consistency issues with him?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Just because he scored 20-plus in two straight games, I think that when you don't finish the game and there's question marks about
it's three straight games now.
Is it really?
Even in the loss, he had 23 before he went
out. Okay, yeah. fair enough.
Yeah.
But look, here's my big concern for AD tonight, George. You know, I get to cover NFL football games, and I see how the NFL tackles, no pun intended, the concussion issue.
Right.
I don't have your perspective when you're down on the floor, so maybe you can fill us in, but I don't really know what the NBA's concussion stuff is because I'm never around it.
The protocol is this. If obviously it's based on, similar to the NFL, based on like, you know, the way the guy reacts, it reacts in real time to the training staff, right? I think that they check him out briefly on, you know, on the floor or at the bench area. Some are more obvious than others, as you know. There's a wobble or something like that. I think that changes the dynamics some. But I think that clearly they were concerned enough where they were like, hey, let's walk towards the locker room. Let's get you off your feet and then kind of start running the diagnostics. And it turned out that he didn't have a concussion and he wasn't put in concussion protocol. The concussion protocol in the NBA is basically, I think you start you off with like a cognitive test, and if you pass that, you go to like the stationary bike, and then after that, you do like one-on-one things, and then after that, you can go to like you know, multiple players, you know, team drills. But anytime if you fail at one of those things,
then you have to start completely over again. So that's why not having him in concussion protocol is a big thing for the Lakers.
Right. So here's my big concern, okay? And look, natural born skeptic, so hear me out.
Yeah.
In the NFL, there's so much publicity in concussions that when a guy gets one, you think that they jump to attention. Like when, remember when Tua was kind of like wobbling and he was walking down the field for the Dolphins and everybody's like, oh my God, he's got a concussion, obviously. And there are people like, no, he doesn't. He's fine. No, he's fine. More often than not in the NFL, like people go into concussion protocol very quickly.
Yes.
You know, now you tell me, how frequent is a concussion in the NBA? Is it once a game?
No.
Is it once every 20 games?
No.
I mean, do you rarely hear about it?
I don't know. I mean,
it's pretty rare, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I don't think it happens with a lot of regularity, yes.
Okay, with that being said, okay, I would guess, this is just a guess here, that it's different in the NFL. They're very paranoid about it. My God,
well,
Will Smith made a movie about it.
Much more violent sport, right?
No question about it. Yeah. And in the NBA, the NBA doesn't have a concussion issue. They don't have a movie about a concussion cover-up, right? So getting a player into concussion protocol, I have zero experience around it, so I'm not here to judge it. I'm here to say that what I'm worried about with AD tonight is he didn't go into concussion protocol. That's good because that makes him available. But he also didn't go into concussion protocol, so we don't know if he does or he doesn't have a concussion. Let's assume he doesn't. How will he be tonight? Is he feeling great? Darvin Ham said earlier in the day, we spoke to him. He says he feels great. Wonderful. Anthony Davis should come out tonight, George, breathing freaking fire, ready to stick it to everybody who laughed in his face. And I hope that's the guy we see tonight.
Well, I mean, if he's breathing fire, I feel like the problem is the court will burn up and then we'll have to have a stoppage and we'll be able to play the game.
No, I forgot about all that. That's true. That is very, very true.
I don't think we should allow him to breathe fire.
I mean, I'm just saying the guy should come out tonight.
Yeah.
And he should prove to Charles Barkley,
yeah,
to Shaquille O'Neal,
yeah,
to Stephen A. Smith,
yeah,
and to everybody around the country, mm-hmm, who pretty much questioned his toughness.
Mm-hmm.
God, I would love to see this kid come out tonight and stick it to all of them.
Mm.
How about you?
Sure. I mean, I'd also like to sleep in my own bed during the Western Conference Finals.
We know this. This we know.
That is my my biggest motivation, that I can just go. I've already booked my flight to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be able to come back home every couple of days.
Well, you just said something very important.
Yeah.
Denver. Denver has moved on. And by the way, just a little side note.
Yeah.
I'm not a KD fan. I love seeing KD get knocked out. I love that when as soon as he was traded from Brooklyn, everybody's like, oh, that's it. Phoenix, Western Conference, they're in. No, not necessarily. And I love that KD, since he joined Steph's team, I know, oh, he was the best player on those teams. He hasn't done anything unless he was on Steph's team. I love that. I don't know how you feel about it, because last night I was watching your game broadcast, you know, George, but at a 30-point lead in the end of the first half.
KD had a rough game. It's crazy because I led with the stat of he's one of the best players ever in NBA history in elimination games, and he was 1-for-10 to start the game.
Amazing. Truly amazing.
You must have jinxed him.
Clearly it was me. I also gave Devin Booker a fist bump in layup line because I saw him, and he and I have had a lot of interactions over the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always really nice.
And he gave you a fist bump.
Yeah,
it
was just like, hey, Book, what up? And he was like, hey, what up? You good? And I'm like, I'm good. You? Yeah, I'm good. And then he kept it moving.
Okay.
And, you know.
You didn't say anything to him like, what's crack-a-lackin'?
No, I'm not you.
I mean, that's a funny thing to say.
No, it's really not.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You didn't hit him with a what's good or anything like that?
He hit me. Are you good? I'm like, I'm good. You good? You good? Yeah, I'm good. All right.
You don't say anything like, yo, how's the family?
No.
No. Okay.
He's
nothing
a single
like
guy, so I mean.
Well, he's got a family, though. I mean
mom and dad, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ask him if the sun's hotter in Puerto Rico than Phoenix?
I definitely did not do that.
En español, por favor.
Sí, I definitely did not do that.
Very good, Lindsay Baseball.
He's one of my favorite players in the league because he's just about hoop.
But here's the point.
I mean, think about it. He's one of the few dudes that dated the Kardashians that didn't do the whole.
He got out.
Like, show thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He got out before he got in.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You mentioned Denver. So the Nuggets have advanced. They are moving on.
They're chilling.
They will be home.
I mean, did you hear what Jokic told me yesterday?
Tell me.
I mean, I asked him at the end. I said, what are you going to do while you're waiting for your opponent? He's like, well, I got a friend who's got some horses in Italy. I'm going to watch them run, you know. I'm assuming he meant like online or something.
Oh.
And then, you know, he's like, I'm going to be with the family and jump in the pool.
Would have been really funny if he would have said, well, me and the Phoenix Suns owner, we're going to be doing a little working out here in the next couple of days, you know?
The Phoenix Suns owner, he was...
Ishbia.
He looked like someone stole his puppy yesterday, man.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's the thing. Denver's chilling.
Yeah.
Denver's resting.
Yeah, they're ready.
If the Lakers...
And here's the other thing.
Go ahead.
Denver's good. I've been telling you that all year.
You have. I will grant you that you have been saying all year that they're good and people disrespect them. But here's the thing.
Well, they just think it's the same old Denver Nuggets.
Same way people looked at the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, now that you don't look at them quite that way anymore, do you?
Yeah.
And listen, that's what Mike Malone said the other night. He's like, dude, we got to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to get to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. We got to win for people to respect us.
Yeah.
So all I want to say, though, is...
Quickly.
This is it. The Lakers have to win tonight because you can't...
You don't want to give it to chance at a game seven, and you'd also don't. And let's say you do find a way to win game seven, you're literally going to have a day's rest.
Right, that's my point. Denver's chilling. That's my point.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Cappy. You know, we started the series with five keys. I want to review the five keys now that we're five games into this thing, and see where we were on that as we look at it now, looking back, and where the Lakers have how they've done in these with these five keys.
Intergalactic.
Galactic, intergalactic, planetary.
You skirt. Nice.
With coffee and cream.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know all the words. I just knew that line. Anywho.
George, you nervous?
No. Why would I be nervous?
You want to sleep in your own bed?
I do want to sleep in my own bed, but they have two chances to make that happen.
Nah.
You don't believe they have two chances to make that happen. You're one of these guys that believes if they lose tonight, they can't win a game seven on the road?
It's not that they can't. It's that it's just the likelihood becomes much, 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 much less.
You believe that LeBron Raymond James, okay?
Yep.
Winner of four titles, okay? And Anthony Marshawn Davis, best player on the team, winner of a title himself. You believe that those two guys cannot win a game at Golden State?
I believe right now, given the circumstances with AD's head, which I'm very, very concerned about, with LeBron's ankle, which I'm extremely concerned about, with Dennis Schroeder, he's got some kind of an Achilles kind of deal thing happening. I'm very concerned about that. I think that you better freaking win tonight or you're in massive trouble on Sunday. And when I say massive trouble, I'm not saying they can't do it. I've already seen them win up there.
Well, here's the thing. I also, if they have to play on Sunday, it's going to be at 12:30. That's an even quicker turnaround, right, than you're used to. You're not playing a night game at that point. The day games, as crazy as that sounds, does screw with a lot of guys sometimes in the NBA. I guess I'm with you on that. Listen, man, I don't know. These guys have all been in these series forever.
I'm just saying this. You ready? You have a 75% chance of winning tonight because you're at home.
Yeah.
And you have a 25% chance of winning if you're on the road.
Where do you get those stats from?
Yeah.
I just made them up.
I just totally made those up. I don't really remember.
Yeah. Trying to make that point, though, is that your chances of winning are significantly greater at home. And their chances of winning, Golden State, are significantly greater of winning at home. And you can look back to see what their regular season record was at home and on the road, and you'll see they were like 75% at home and 25% on the road.
But LeBron in a game seven, you know, he says no two better words in sports than game seven.
By the way,
he says that?
Yeah.
But I just tried to go to ESPN.com on the Wi-Fi here, and it says that I'm being blocked by my geolocation.
That's right.
Did it tell you you're in Sweden?
Germany.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
I got Sweden last time that happened to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, LeBron says there's no better two words in sports than Game 7. He really says that phrase, really?
Well, I think he's not the only one. A lot of people
say that's what I'm saying. Like, it's cheesy. Like, every, guy that you're listening to overnight on Sunday is like, hey, this is the best two words in sports. I'm like,
it's different when a player says it, though, because, like, they're playing in it.
Oh, right. They're not a gas bag like you.
Like us. Excuse me.
I mean, you're a bigger gas bag than me. Mm. Actually, ESPN's matchup predictor has the Lakers with a 62.6% chance to win today.
Okay,
you're way off, Kepi.
Well, but then you would have to ask yourself this question. What would that same predictor give the Warriors at home on Sunday?
Probably a similar number. Probably like in the 60% range.
All right, let me rephrase my numbers. You have a 60% chance of winning at home, and you have a 40% chance of winning
on
the road.
So let me see. I'll look at it here because it has the matchup.
Thank you.
It actually has the Warriors only at a 53% chance, 53.1 to win on Sunday.
Okay, again, just
to
be clear.
So that's my point, is that the Lakers have almost a coin flip chance if they have to get to Sunday.
Just want to be clear. Those were all made up stats.
Thank you.
Those were made up. They were on the spot. Those were made up stats. Okay?
Right, but we're giving you the real stats.
Yes, and I appreciate that. And what those stats tell me is this. You have a better chance to win at home than you do on the road.
You have a better chance to win at home.
Than you do on the road.
Okay.
Come on, George, do it like this.
Okay, let's do it. Why do you sound like a Muppet when you do that?
Because I'm trying to be dramatic.
All right, let's review the five keys.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Briones, I'm sorry. I should have told you this during the break. If you can find the Round Ball Rock, the NBA on NBC music.
Oh,
we should...
man, come on.
There you go.
Come
Thank
on,
you.
Man. Who are you talking, talking to?
Muchas gracias.
Who are you talking to?
Okay, come okay,
you
okay.
You know who he is?
Tranquilo.
I'm him.
Okay. I'm him. That's right, you are.
There you
are.
Go. He is him. Yes. All right, Cappy, key number one back when we started this series was AD needs to dominate on both ends. How do you feel he's fared in that regard?
I think that AD has done really, really well. He has dominated on the defensive end, and he has contributed significantly on the offensive end. I wouldn't call it domination.
Yeah.
But I think pretty good.
Okay. So close enough.
Yeah, give him a good B+.
Okay, fair enough. Next was the Lakers' defense will be tested in ways it wasn't against Memphis. That seemed fairly accurate, right? Like, they have been tested in different ways. I mean, these games... Are certainly much different. They spread you out way more than Memphis did.
Seems like it's faster up and down. Seems like, you know, they're just bombing away, or at least that's their preference, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it is definitely different. No question.
D-Lo,
the Lakers have been up for the task, though.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Yeah. D-Lo will have a ton of pressure on him. He has. He's been up and down, right? That's what we talked about, because he's got a contract. They know him. He's been inconsistent. Is that fair to say?
It is, but on the other hand, D'Angelo Russell has given you, I mean, at least one game where he's made a monster contribution offensively.
Right, but, you know, he's getting paid not for very long by this team, at least in theory, though. He's getting paid to be a $30 million player, to be the third best player on the team, and I don't think he's been that.
No, I don't think he's been the third best player on the team because he hasn't been consistent enough.
Correct.
Now, by the way, I like what you just did, just by the way, which is you equated his money to the quality of his play. That's usually what I do.
I know. But I only brought that up in the context of he's playing for a contract, like literally.
Hasn't gone quite as well as D'Angelo Russell would have liked. There was a lot of early action. The one game where he scored 21 points in the first half, I mean, that was really impressive. That game, he helped tremendously. That
right,
team
he scored
went.
The first 11, right? He was great, no doubt. Mm-hmm. All right, the next key... LeBron James' demeanor in this series needs to change. Now, it really hasn't. And I think for them to close it out, that's going to have to happen. I heard Pepe talk about this with Mason in Ireland and Michael, that he's got to attack the basket. And tonight's the night, bro. Tonight is your night, bro.
Love that song.
It's from Twins.
Let me tell you, I got to think that tonight LeBron slept in his own bed.
Yeah.
Got to the arena early.
Gosh, I can't wait to sleep on my own bed today.
You know, his training staff, like, making things super comfortable in his arena.
He's
his
already
locker
got a,
room.
A didn't he? What was the injury he had in the last game?
Dude, he twisted an ankle.
Right, that's right, the other foot.
Yeah.
Which was the original foot.
Right, so it's not like, hey, he hurt the other one. The other one's been hurt, too.
Right. So he hurt the original foot, not the one he saw the LeBron James of foot doctors for.
Right, that's
now,
a different
maybe
foot.
That LeBron James of foot doctors saw both feet.
It's possible that he could have flown the LeBron James of foot doctors in on a private jet to come see LeBron James. The two of them sitting there together.
Right.
Think about that. I'm LeBron.
I'm
LeBron
assuming he saw both feet at once and didn't have to fly back and forth to see each individual foot.
I don't know, man. There's a big game tonight. I want that doctor to see my foot. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If LeBron is going to go LeBron.
Yeah.
If LeBron still has it in him to go LeBron. Tonight's the night, bro.
Well, Lindsay, I'm curious to get your feel for this because you've been saying you've been waiting for the LeBron game. I feel like we're all kind of waiting for it. I just don't know if physically, because of his ailments, he's capable of mustering that up at the moment in the way that we remember it.
In the way we remember, no. But I think if he's going to...
Now, maybe he does and he shuts us all up
right.
tonight. You know?
But whatever he's been like saving up for, which I truly believe he has been, we'll see it tonight, I think.
Hmm.
Like, he's going to will them into a victory tonight.
Okay.
That's what a true LeBron believer says.
Yeah, I mean, she's not the only one. We'll get that. We'll get to that in a second. But then the last key was the Steph Curry conundrum. Now, they haven't really been able to solve that, except I will give them this. He hasn't gone off from three yet in a game, although I don't know how much of some of that early on was them, but really the last couple games, he's missed some looks he normally hits.
Well, that, and let's also remember that Anthony Davis has defended against Steph and has completely altered his shots at times. And so great job by AD defensively. And look, Steph did not put up some monster game yet. Yeah, 30 points is great for a regular guy, but Steph Curry puts up 50.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything crazy like that yet.
Yeah. All right, Slee on the Spot is up next, Cappy. You ready for that?
I am very ready.
All right. Horizon. I'll be with the eagles flying higher and higher.
Oh, I didn't know how you were going to do on that high note. Nice job.
Mm.
Way to go, man.
Where the future's lying, St. Elmo's fire.
Nice.
Ooh. It's a great song.
Yeah. Nice job.
Reminds me of being like 8 years old or 7 years old or something.
Remember this movie, St. Elmo's Fire?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither.
I just remember the song more than I remember the movie, to be honest.
I remember the song, the title of the song, and the name of the movie. I just don't really remember the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember the movie at all, actually. So, Slee on the Spot is with us now. Alan Sliwa, host of our morning show, 10 to 1. Travis and Slee, host of our pregame show, which will begin in less than 45 minutes. Game 6 of the Western Conference semis between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors at Crypto.com Arena. So, Slee, before we get to that, what is the oldest memory you have of watching a movie?
Oldest memory I have watching a movie. Okay. Do you guys remember Over the Top?
Oh, yeah, with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Sylvester Stallone, arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling, arm wrestling. Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone. I don't know why that comes up, but I think he took a couple L's, and I was devastated. I'm like, no movie should be like this. How did this guy lose? That one kind of comes to mind right out the gate. And then you got like horror movies that scared the living. Poltergeist, when that came out, I'm like, why did anyone let me watch this? How could I possibly watch this? To this day, it still scares me.
Yeah. If you have snow on the TV, you think you got problems, right?
Yeah, those horror movies at a young age are not a good idea.
Did I get the wrong movie? I
mean,
the way you just paused, it was like as if I mentioned the wrong film. Wasn't Poltergeist the one where the little girl's sitting in front of the TV and there's like all the...
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks.
You got the movie right. I think I just started getting a little nervous again, as if
that's
I was,
what it was. Yeah,
7
exactly.
years old again.
Gotcha. Right, how about you, George? What's your oldest movie memory?
Probably Star Wars, like one of the Star Wars movies, like Return of the Jedi. I was like 6 years old, I think, or 7 years old. Yeah, 5 or 6 when that movie came out. Return of the Jedi, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the Rocky movies. One of the Rocky movies, for sure.
That's a good one.
I know that everybody looks at the three of us and they're like, well, Cap's clearly a lot younger, but I'm believe it or not, I'm a little bit older, a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's actually
seen everybody that. Looks at the three of us and they're like, Cap is so young compared to those two guys.
Yeah.
So for me, thank God it's Friday. And I'm talking like in the early 70s, you know?
I don't even know what that is.
Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
I mean, I know I know the song.
Friday.
Kind of like St. Elmo's Fire, but
yeah.
Donna
Summer.
I know Friday, like,
no,
with, you know,
not,
Smokey.
Not
you know
that
I mean?
Friday. Yeah. No, not that Friday.
Ice
Craig.
Cube.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not that Friday.
Yeah. Craig!
Yep.
That Friday.
Nope.
All right. So Slee, Cappy doesn't believe. Now, look, obviously we all want the Lakers to win today. I want, for selfish reasons, when I go to the Western Conference Finals, I already booked my flight to Denver. I don't want to have to pack for 2 weeks, okay? I don't want the Warriors to somehow come back and win this thing where I got to be away from home for 2 weeks. I need to at least be able to come back home and sleep in my bed for a few days during this next series. So, but he doesn't believe, he's like totally afraid if the Lakers lose tonight that they can't win this series.
I'm not saying can't win. I'm just saying their likelihood is less. So tonight's the night to do it. And if they don't do it tonight, then yes, I'm extremely nervous. Slee, are you feeling my emotions?
So I know this has been part of the conversation. I get it. It's a game six. You're at home. You stole home court advantage. This is kind of what you prepared for. This is what you were hoping for. And you got it in front of you, and you got your home crowd. I still think, I get it, the game seven on the road. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis. More specifically, it's LeBron. I don't think the series is over. I don't think the Warriors would think the series is over. I don't think the Lakers would think the series was over. But let's just not get to that situation. I think that's, Cappy, I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. It's more just
get it done tonight.
Don't put yourself in that spot.
But it's not just because you have to go back there, and it's not just because they've been so much better at home than they've been on the road. It's because Denver is waiting with their feet kicked up. So if you have to go play this game on Sunday, Denver's going to be very well rested, and the Lakers will not be. And we all know that not only are the Lakers a little bit older, I mean, we talk specifically about LeBron and the miles on AD, but both of those guys are nicked up now.
Well, it's kind of similar to, remember when the Warriors had a chance in Game 6 to close it out up in the Bay, and they missed that opportunity. Now they had to go Game 7 against Sacramento. They've been playing, this will be, let's see, this is the sixth game. This is the ninth straight game for the Warriors. They're playing on one day rest in between. So they've been doing that. And I think, Cap, that's what you're referring to. If you could avoid that, obviously for the Lakers, you just want to get to the Western Conference Finals. But you also have something in front of you here where you do get those three additional days off that you can kick back, relax, and get ready for round two.
Slee, I think the Wiggins injury is huge. I mean, last year you can make the case he was their second best player on the way to a title. And I know he's just getting back from injury and trying to get up to speed. But this rib injury to me is a monster injury for them. He's the guy guarding LeBron. He's the guy LeBron has to guard. Like, and he's making LeBron work on that end too.
I couldn't agree more. I to be honest with you, and I don't know how much you guys talked about it today, but I feel like it's not being made as big of a deal as, George, you're mentioning. Tell me how. I know there's paths for them to win a game without Wiggins, but that makes it so much more difficult. Wiggins, last game, game five, Wiggins had 25. Steve Kerr wouldn't stop talking about how it's the best game that he's played since he's been back, the best game in the playoffs. They're a completely different team when he does play. When he plays at a high level, even, George, even if he goes, but he's not Andrew Wiggins. Remember, Wiggins' last game was picking up LeBron, at times picking him up before half court, before LeBron even got the ball off half court. I think he's critical. There's other critical pieces, but Wiggins is a big one. I couldn't agree more.
He's not going to have it tonight. I mean, it's very unlikely that a guy could have the injury that he has and really, really be effective to the tune of 25 points like he had in the last game. And that's just a prediction. It's not like some statement of definition. I'm just saying that it's not likely. But the question for the Lakers side, though, is what is Anthony Davis tonight? Is he completely fine, no problem? Or is there any sort of after effect to what we saw in the last game? What do you think, Slee?
So he just...
Wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dr. Slee?
Yeah, Doc.
Well, thank you for the title there. He's finished. He was warming up here. He probably finished literally in the last couple of minutes. So he went back to the locker room. It looked like a just normal routine, like he usually does it. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, but doesn't it seem like everybody's just been saying, no, he's good. Yep. No problem here. Yeah. We thought it was worse in the beginning, but you know what? He's having no ill effects, no nothing.
That's why I'm nervous.
He was out here warming up. D'Lo was on one side, AD was on the other, and they were just going through their regular warm-ups. And, you know, what can I tell when there's nobody there, no defender, no nothing? But it just looked like he was in his regular routine.
Everything you just said about, you know, the immediacy of he's not in concussion protocol, he's fine, he's going to be okay, we spoke to him this morning, he's good. It's all of that just makes me nervous. That's all. I hope for Anthony Davis's sake tonight, he sticks it to everybody who questioned his toughness two nights ago. That's what I'm looking for tonight from him, Slee.
So, Cap, and here's the thing. The best way to stick it to everybody, win one game at home and move on to the Western Conference Finals. And if that means you know, if AD has 35 and 15, great. But even if AD has 25 and 10, just win, move on, and everybody that was remarkably disrespectful a couple days ago, they'll probably still continue to be disrespectful, but at least for at least you know, a few minutes, AD can just enjoy that the Lakers are going to the Western Conference Finals.
Slee, one more for me before we let you go. When you look at the Lakers, LeBron's a little dinged up. You know, as we mentioned, AD's a little dinged up. Schroeder's even a little dinged up. Are we getting to the point in regards to the battle of attrition where we're going to need to go a little deeper down the bench today?
I don't know if they have to go deeper, but can they get Rui? Can Rui have, doesn't need a 29 like he had against Memphis, but can he get you a 16 to 18? D'Lo, this can't be one of those nights where we're not sure what D'Angelo is going to do. D'Lo, remember game six, the closeout game against Memphis, doesn't need the 30-31 that he had against them, but can he get you close to 20 points? I think the depth of the Lakers has showed up. They've obviously had some role players that have been able to step up, but can you also get some of these other guys that have showed up periodically so far in the playoffs? Can they be there for them?
I'm going to give you in the next segment, George, I'm going to give you a complete out of left field X-factor player tonight.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Slee, enjoy tonight. We'll be listening in about 34 minutes. Thank you for joining us as always. I'll see you over there, buddy.
All right, fellas. Have a good weekend.
Better stay tuned, Slee. Wait till I tell you who's going to make an impact tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be listening with bated breath.
Better tune in, Slee.
All right, Cappy. We'll get into that. Plus, there's a lot of chatter about who has more pressure in tonight's contest. So let's get to that. And apparently, Rob Pelinka does ask for your advice, Cappy.
I'm going to give it to him coming up.
Okay, we'll get to that. But tell him about Yamava first.
Oh, I would love to, as a matter of fact. Hey, listen, this weekend, let me start off by just saying, with all the sports that are going on, for me, I'm just throwing out a very personal plug here for the 909, the greatest sports bar on the planet inside Yamava. Yes?
Do you know what? You know what they're going to start serving at the 909?
Tell me.
Guess.
Sushi?
No, man. Our friends...
Tequila Mandala?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're going to start serving Tequila Mandala at Yamava.
Hey, look, when we bring people out there and they're coming out there to hang with us, they expect to see the products that we talk about.
And
absolutely.
It's going
to
be there. I just got a text from Kirk, one of the owners of Tequila Mandala this afternoon, that they just got their deal done with Yamava.
Okay. Well, you see, that's what we do around here at 710. We put people together for a win-win-win situation. Now, here's how you win. SoCal's number one casino is celebrating the GOAT. Six rings, five MVPs. You remember the flu game, the shrug. There is only one MJ, only one. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you the chance to walk on air with the ultimate prize package of up to $500,000 in prizes in this month of May and next month in June. Play for your chance to win a PSA 10 MJ rookie card, iconic sneakers, and free play at Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel. So visit the website yamava.com for more information. Y-A-A-M-A-V-A. Yamava.com for details. You must be 21. Please gamble responsibly. And it's a win, win, win for you at Yamava.